Well, the third Sunday of Advent, we get to light a different colored candle this morning. Christmas is on its way. And here we are in the Sunday of joy. Joy is one of those tricky words. And it's tricky, as so many words are, because its meaning has shifted over time. There's just something about the human condition. I don't know what it is. It just seems as resistant as possible for language to be useful. This is one of my hobby horses. I'll try not to spend too much time on it, but I first ran across this when I was reading C.S. Lewis. And I can't remember whether he talks about it in An Experiment in Criticism or actually in Mere Christianity, where he talks about how people take words and they like one of the connotations of it, or they like one of its potential meanings, and so they apply it and misapply it all over the place. And he said, for example, the word gentleman, which in England for the longest time was a description of your social status and actually let people know that you owned a particular kind of land and you had particular kind of responsibilities to the crown, which is why it was quite possible for the longest time to describe someone as a cad and a gentleman, because you could be both at the same time, because a gentleman was simply a description of what you owned as much as anything. They said the problem was that people liked some of the connotations, and they started using the word gentleman, and they expanded its meaning, and so it covered a whole bunch of things, which he said was unfortunate, because now you didn't have the original use, and we already had lots of other words that explained what we were trying to use when we used the word gentleman already, like honorable, trustworthy, all of these things that we now use when we say, oh, that person is a real gentleman. We had words for that already, and now we've lost the word gentleman. It doesn't mean what it meant anymore, and so you can't use it the way it was originally intended. C.S. Lewis was a bit of a pedant when it came to language and a bunch of other things. Being a professional academic, it only makes sense. But I find that same kind of frustration when we take words that have a particular meaning and we then expand the meaning to the point where the word is no longer really useful at all. It's just one more opportunity for us to say something is really nice. Now, the word awesome leaps to mind. How we made the leap from awesome, something that would be so incredibly beyond you that it might even drive you to your knees to describe the lunch you had today, seems a little bit much, because now we don't have awesome anymore either. And one of the words that we've lost, at least in some ways, is the word joy. And that's where the sermon title comes from, which is just joy or happiness. Joy is often used as a synonym for happiness. People are joyful, they're happy, they're in the same way. They're pleased with what's going on. And if that's the case, that if joy and happiness are the same, then there's a whole bunch of passages in Scripture that not only are the kind of odd, they border on being cruel. And when we look at what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, he says, "Be joyful always." Well, if we think that be joyful always is exactly the same as being happy always, that's kind of crazy. Because if we're somehow supposed to be happy when something catastrophic happens, that just doesn't make any sense. Are we supposed to be happy when we find out that our loved ones have a terminal disease? Are we supposed to be happy when we hear about a natural disaster somewhere? Well, no. And that's not what the text says. The text says, be joyful always. Joy is not happiness. Joy is something that is similar, perhaps. I think that joy can lead to happiness. But joy is this deep inner understanding that goodness exists, that God cares for all of us, not just a favored few, that God loves the creation that he made. And joy is based on these eternal values. Because it is possible to be joyful always. And we, if we wanted, I suppose, we could look at this as a bit of Pauline hyperbole. I mean, he also says, pray continually. Does that mean we're supposed to never stop praying whenever we're awake? Well, no. But it fits in a different way than hyperbole. There's something that is to be said for being joyful always. Because joy is something that is independent of our circumstances. It is possible to be joyful in all things, which is what we're called to do in other places in Scripture. And we're joyful not because of our circumstances. And I'd put it to you that we're joyful not even in spite of our circumstances. We're joyful because we simply are. And then our circumstances wrap themselves around that rather than the other way around. As I mentioned at the beginning of the Advent season, I was struck again, or perhaps in a new way, by the eschatological sense of Advent, of the both and of Advent, of the looking forward to the celebration of Christ's coming, the memory, if you will, of that event, but also looking forward to Christ's second return, to that time when all things will finally make sense, when we won't have to deal with the ongoing consequences of the fallen world in which we live, that many of us won't have to worry when we, or wonder, when we first open our eyes in the morning, is today going to be a good day or a bad day? Am I going to be able to walk without pain? Am I going to be able to get out of bed without whatever it might be? Because lots of us have these little nagging things. Those will be gone forever. I don't know about you, but I can't wait. I knew I had changed into a different kind of person when I realized that that was just about every morning my first thought when I wake up is, well, what's it going to be like today? Am I going to be able to do everything I want to do, or am I going to have to change my plans because of this or that? That's just part of the fallen world in which we live, and I'm okay with that in one sense, but I'm really looking forward to the day when I don't have to worry about that anymore. Joy is what allows us to transcend our circumstance, not because it says our circumstance doesn't matter. Joy is what allows us to still maintain this sense of the ultimate meaning of our existence, even in the midst of things that make us unhappy, even in the midst of things that are painful, that we would never choose, and that no one would ever choose for us. Because joy is based on the understanding that all of our suffering, all of everyone's suffering, will at one point be redeemed, will be made meaningful in a way that perhaps we can't understand now, because God is in it. We're joyful because we haven't been left alone. We're joyful because what we see over and over in Scripture is that while God doesn't always give us answers to what's gone wrong, what He has said is that I'm going to be there in the midst of what's gone wrong. And I've spoken often, even last week I think, about how we sometimes look back at things that we never would have chosen, but we like the outcome. And that often we're the worst person to look at the ultimate end of what we're going through or what our loved ones are going through, because our context is too small. But one of the things that allows us to accept the limitations of our context is knowing that we haven't been abandoned. That in the midst of the most horrible catastrophes of our lives, as well as the most trivial irritations of our lives, God is there. When Jesus came, those thousands of years ago, He came as a tangible representation of God's willingness to be with us. And He's with us now through His Holy Spirit. He indwells us and He's everywhere, and we know all that. But we also know that He has a sense of our experience because He lived our experience. And so when God says He's with us, in everything, so that we can be joyful always, because we're always accompanied by God. He's not sitting on our shoulder like a dispassionate observer, just making notes, going, oh, that's interesting. That must be painful for him. No. He's here with us because he knows. Not just from the perspective of omniscience, which is enough for God, I suppose, but it's not enough for us. I take comfort in the fact that Jesus fell and skinned his knee. Because he did. Because he was a boy. Because he was a child. Boys, girls, they run around, they skin their knees. He experienced that. We don't know much about Jesus' early years. We know little bits, but has it ever crossed you that there's a good crossed your mind that there's a good chance that Jesus fell in love with some girl and it didn't work out? Obviously it didn't work out. He didn't get married. Sometimes I think we do Jesus a disservice when we think that he must have lived this life almost in a bubble. But he didn't. Do you think Jesus, when he was trying to work with his father, making something, it was just a failure? It just didn't work? We have this idea that everything Jesus, because he was perfect, because he was sinless, everything he did was likewise perfect. I don't think that was the case at all. I think when Jesus was learning how to be a carpenter, he made some abominable things, because that's how you learn. You think when Jesus was learning arithmetic, he didn't sometimes make mistakes? Of course he made mistakes. That when he was younger, sometimes he was embarrassed over nothing, like we remember as adolescents being embarrassed over what we now realize is nothing. That's the God who's with us at all times, as well as the God who went to the cross, who suffered the abandonment of his friends, the physical pain of death. All of these things come together are what allow us to be joyful always. Not because we're happy about them, because we're not happy about them. We're not called to be happy about them. We're called to be joyful. We're called to live lives that never forget that God is with us in all of the things of our lives. That we have a bedrock of fundamental meaning to what we go through. That even the painful things in our lives are not random. They're not irrational. That our current inability to understand them doesn't mean that they're not understandable. And that's where the joy comes from. Not from the content of the circumstance, but from the realization that we have never been left alone, and we never will be left alone. We can be joyful even when we're unhappy. And I'd put it to you that joyful people enter into their unhappiness even more than those who pretend that nothing's wrong. But we can do that in a way that doesn't do violence to our beliefs, because we know that God is with us. Jesus came to earth to demonstrate in a way that nothing else would, that God will be able to understand everything we go through. And he'll be with us. And that at some point, when all of these things are wrapped up at the end, whether for us just as individuals or for everyone at once, that meaning will be obvious to all. And that we'll realize that every bit of suffering, every bit of unhappiness that we've gone through wasn't ignored by God. That he was there. That he was with us at all times. We're joyful in everything. We're joyful always because we know that we're always loved. We know that we are always cared for. We know that we're never entirely on our own. And we light that candle today as a tangible reminder again that we can be joyful whether we're happy or not. We can be joyful whether we're comfortable or not. We can be joyful whether we're confident for the future or not. Because our joy is based not on what's going on now or what we think will happen or what has happened in the past, but our joy comes from the relationship that we have with God through Jesus that says we are of ultimate worth and that at one point everything we've ever gone through will make sense. Every frustration, every pain, every aggravation won't just be wiped away as if it never happened. But we'll see at some point that that gracious, loving God was with us all the way through, supporting us in ways that perhaps we didn't even know. Be joyful always. We can do that. Be happy always. That's impossible. We're not asked for that. We're asked to be joyful. Amen.